we invite you to tune in to our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.
Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled, God's Mercy. Today's meditation was written by Pastor S.D. Abraham. We shall take our Bible reading from Romans chapter 9, verses 14 to 16. What shall we say then? Is there injustice with God? Absolutely not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it does not depend on human desire or exertion, but on God who shows mercy. I have just read from the New English Translation. If you carefully follow the conversation in Romans 9, leading up to these verses, it might seem, especially to an uninformed reader, that God is being unjust by choosing whom to save. The question naturally arises, if God is fair, why doesn't everyone get an equal chance? But the core of today's text reveals something sobering and humbling. Salvation is not a matter of fairness or merit. It is entirely an act of divine mercy. And mercy, by its very nature, is not something owed. It is something freely given at the mercy giver's expense. Humanity, in its fallen state, doesn't deserve salvation. What we actually deserve is judgment. But God, in his infinite love, offers mercy. Not by ignoring judgment, but by absorbing it. Mercy costs God everything. He can show us mercy only because he bore the cost himself through the suffering and death of his only begotten Son. Even from a broader perspective, let's consider the nature of God. He is the originator, sustainer, and owner of all life. While it is wrong for one human to unjustly take the life of another, since we are not the source of life, God, who created life, has the absolute right to give or take it. Yet, even with all authority in his hands, God chooses to operate within the moral framework he himself established. That's why even though he desires that all be saved, he still sent Jesus as a ransom, because justice in God's universe demands atonement for sin. Mercy does not cancel justice, it satisfies it. This is why recipients of God's mercy should be eternally grateful. We weren't just lost, we were guilty. We weren't just weak, we were enemies of God. But through his mercy, we have been brought near, forgiven, and made children of the Most High. As you go into today, let the reality of God's mercy humble you and fill your heart with gratitude. You are not saved because of your efforts or good intentions, but because of the mercy of a holy God who chose to love you at his own expense. Prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy that found me. Help me to walk in humility and gratitude, never forgetting that I live and stand only because of your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from Jeremiah chapters 37 to 41. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If you begin with us today, by this time next year, you will have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
This is how Jerusalem was taken. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army and laid siege to it. And on the ninth day of the fourth month of Zedekiah's 11th year, the city wall was broken through. Then all the officials of the king of Babylon came and took seats in the middle gate. Nergal-Sharezer of Samgar, Nebo-Sarsekim, a chief officer, Nergal-Sharezer, a high official, and all the other officials of the king of Babylon. When Zedekiah, king of Judah, and all the soldiers saw them, they fled. They left the city at night by way of the king's garden, through the gate between the two walls, and headed toward the Arabah. But the Babylonian army pursued them, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. They captured him and took him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, at Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced sentence on him. There, at Riblah, the king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and also killed all the nobles of Judah. Then he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze shackles to take him to Babylon. The Babylonians set fire to the royal palace and the houses of the people and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, carried into exile to Babylon the people who remained in the city, along with those who had gone over to him, and the rest of the people. But Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, left behind in the land of Judah some of the poor people who owned nothing, and at that time he gave them vineyards and fields. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had given these orders about Jeremiah through Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard.
Take him and look after him. Don't harm him, but do for him whatever he asks.
So Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, Nebushazban, a chief officer, Nergal Sharezer, a high official, and all the other officers of the king of Babylon sent and had Jeremiah taken out of the courtyard of the guard. They turned him over to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, to take him back to his home. So he remained among his own people. While Jeremiah had been confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him.
Go and tell Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I am about to fulfill my words against this city. Words concerning disaster, not prosperity. At that time, they will be fulfilled before your eyes. But I will rescue you on that day, declares the Lord. You will not be given into the hands of those you fear. I will save you. You will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life, because you trust in me, declares the Lord.
The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, had released him at Ramah. He had found Jeremiah bound in chains among all the captives from Jerusalem and Judah who were being carried into exile to Babylon. When the commander of the guard found Jeremiah, he said to him,
"The Lord your God decreed this disaster for this place, and now the Lord has brought it about. He has done just as he said he would. All this happened because you people sinned against the Lord and did not obey him. But today, I am freeing you from the chains on your wrists. Come with me to Babylon if you like, and I will look after you. But if you do not want to, then don't come. Look, the whole country lies before you. Go wherever you please."
However, before Jeremiah turned to go, Nebuzaradan added,
"Go back to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has appointed over the towns of Judah, and live with him among the people, or go anywhere else you please."
Then the commander gave him provisions and a present, and let him go. So Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mizpah, and stayed with him among the people who were left behind in the land. When all the army officers and their men who were still in the open country heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, as governor over the land, and had put him in charge of the men, women, and children who were the poorest in the land and who had not been carried into exile to Babylon, they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, Johanan and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, Seraiah, son of Tanhumith, the sons of Ephi, the Netophathite, and Jaazaniah, the son of the Maukathite, and their men. Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, took an oath to reassure them and their men.
"Do not be afraid to serve the Babylonians,"
he said.
"Settle down in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will go well with you. I myself will stay at Mizpah to represent you before the Babylonians who come to us. But you are to harvest the wine, summer fruit, and olive oil, and put them in your storage jars, and live in the towns you have taken over.
When all the Jews in Moab, Ammon, Edom, and all the other countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant in Judah, and had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, as governor over them, they all came back to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah at Mizpah, from all the countries where they had been scattered. And they harvested an abundance of wine and summer fruit. Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers still in the open country came to Gedaliah at Mizpah and said to him,
"Don't you know that Baalis, king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, to take your life?"
But Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, did not believe them. Then Johanan, son of Kareah, said privately to Gedaliah in Mizpah,
"Let me go and kill Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and no one will know it. Why should he take your life and cause all the Jews who are gathered around you to be scattered and the remnant of Judah to perish?"
But Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, said to Johanan, son of Kareah,
"Don't do such a thing. What you are saying about Ishmael is not true.
In the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, who was of royal blood and had been one of the king's officers, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mizpah. While they were eating together there, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him got up and struck down Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, killing the one whom the king of Babylon had appointed as governor over the land. Ishmael also killed all the men of Judah who were with Gedaliah at Mizpah, as well as the Babylonian soldiers who were there. The day after Gedaliah's assassination, before anyone knew about it, 80 men who had shaved off their beards, torn their clothes, and cut themselves came from Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria, bringing grain offerings and incense with them to the house of the Lord. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, went out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he went. When he met them, he said,
"Come to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam."
When they went into the city, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the men who were with him slaughtered them and threw them into a cistern. But 10 of them said to Ishmael,
"Don't kill us. We have wheat and barley, olive oil and honey hidden in a field."
So he let them alone and did not kill them with the others. Now the cistern where he threw all the bodies of the men he had killed along with Gedaliah was the one King Asa had made as part of his defense against Baasha, king of Israel. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, filled it with the dead. Ishmael made captives of all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughters, along with all the others who were left there, over whom Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, took them captive and set out to cross over to the Ammonites. When Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers who were with him heard about all the crimes Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had committed, they took all their men and went to fight Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. They caught up with him near the great pool in Gibeon. When all the people Ishmael had with him saw Johanan, son of Kareah, and the army officers who were with him, they were glad. All the people Ishmael had taken captive at Mizpah turned and went over to Johanan, son of Kareah. But Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and 8 of his men escaped from Johanan and fled to the Ammonites. Then Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers who were with him led away all the people of Mizpah who had survived, whom Johanan had recovered from Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, after Ishmael had assassinated Gedaliah, son of Ahikam. The soldiers, women, children, and court officials he had recovered from Gibeon. And they went on, stopping at Gibeath-Kimham, near Bethlehem, on their way to Egypt to escape the Babylonians. They were afraid of them because Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had killed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had appointed as governor over the land.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Stream Globe is non-denominational and interdenominational. We encourage you to share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry and get more of our resources, visit streamglobe.org.